Today's text is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 13, verses 5 through 37. Chapter 13 of the Gospel of Mark is a lengthy paragraph and teaching given by Jesus before his crucifixion. Last Sunday, we examined verses 1 through 4, which provide context for this passage. Jesus told his disciples who were admiring the great and magnificent temple in Jerusalem that the temple would be destroyed so that not a single stone would be left upon another. Subsequently, Jesus exited the temple with his disciples and proceeded to the Mount of Olives, where they could see the temple from the other side. At this point, Peter, James, John, and Andrew approached Jesus and asked him quietly, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign when all these things are about to be accomplished?" The same incident as today's text also appears in Matthew 24 verses 1 through 3, where it says, "Jesus left the temple and was going away, when his disciples came to point out to him the buildings of the temples. But he answered them, 'You see all these, do you not? Truly I say to you, there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down.'" Jesus left the temple and went to the Mount of Olives, where he declared that the temple was polluted by sin and had become a den of thieves. He predicted that it will be destroyed. This prophecy has a historical and redemptive significance. Even in the time of Ezekiel 11, when the temple was desecrated due to the sins of Israel, the glory of God left the temple and moved to the Mount of Olives. Later, God punished Israel through Babylon, and the temple in Jerusalem was destroyed, with not a single stone left on another. The glory of God, however, did not completely leave his people who had fallen into sin, and instead moved to the Mount of Olives, where it remained. When the people were taken captive to Babylon, the glory of God went with them and became a sanctuary among them. Eventually, he led them out of the land of Babylon. Ezekiel chapter 11, verses 16 and 17. "Therefore say, thus says the Lord God, though I move them far off among the nations, and though I scatter them among the countries, yet I have been a sanctuary to them for a while in the countries where they have gone. Therefore say, thus says the Lord God, I will gather you from the peoples and assemble you out of the countries where you have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel." Although the temple of God was destroyed, his glory did not completely leave or forsake his people. God went to the land of judgment where his people dwelled. This means that God was with his people in Babylon, even though there was no temple building there. After 70 years, God brought the people back to the land of their covenant inheritance, and the Israelites built a new temple where God dwelled with them. This event is being repeated, and we see its fulfillment in today's passage. Jesus comes out of the temple, goes to the Mount of Olives, looks at the temple in Jerusalem, and declares that not one stone will be left upon another, and the temple will be destroyed. Jesus was with his disciples on the Mount of Olives, and he saved his people by going to the place of their judgment. The old temple, polluted by sin, had to be destroyed, but Jesus came as the new temple and did not leave or forsake his people. In the end, he saved his people, brings them to heaven, and they live together for eternity. Thus, the words taught in the book of Ezekiel were fulfilled with the coming of Jesus as the new temple. In verse 4 of today's text, the disciples asked Jesus what will be the sign that would indicate the fulfillment of the prophecy of the temple's destruction. In Matthew 24, they asked about the sign of the end of the world. The disciples now understood the destruction of the temple as an event that would happen in the last days when the Lord God comes. From verse 5, Jesus teaches us that what will happen in the last days. Therefore, today we will explore what Jesus taught about the last days in Mark 13 as a whole. To do this, we need to review the flow of the Gospel of Mark so far. The Gospel of Mark tells the story of how Jesus, who is the Lord God, came to earth to establish His heavenly kingdom and spread the gospel of heaven. He called people to join Him in heaven and taught that His death and resurrection will fully establish the heavenly kingdom. He also taught that those who believe in Him and belong to heaven will die with Him and rise again to become God's children. They are all called to bear witness to the gospel and to serve others with love and humility. In the story, Jesus enters Jerusalem, cleanses the temple, and reveals that He is the true temple from heaven. Eventually, He is arrested, crucified, and dies. But in the end, He is resurrected and ascends to heaven, completing His mission on earth. The text for today, Mark 13, appears between chapter 12, where Jesus teaches about His suffering, death on the cross, and resurrection, and chapter 14, where Jesus actually goes through these events. As a result, chapter 13 must be read with a focus on the reality of heavenly salvation that Jesus will achieve through His suffering, death, and resurrection. It should also be understood as the word that calls us to become part of the heavenly people who are united with Jesus in His suffering, death, and resurrection. To fully comprehend Mark 13, it's necessary to examine the events that precede and follow it. Two very similar events occur immediately before and after the chapter. The first event is about the poor widow's offering, where she gave everything she had, even though it was only 2 coins. The second event is about a woman who prepared Jesus' body for burial by pouring a jar of expensive perfume on Him. Both of these events involve offering the most valuable and precious to Jesus. They point towards and testify about Jesus and His sacrifice on the cross, where He offered His most valuable possession, His life, to save us. The words of chapter 13 must also be understood with a focus on Jesus' death on the cross, as it is placed in the middle of these two events. The death of Jesus on the cross marks the beginning of the last days. If you look at the entire 13th chapter, Jesus speaks about the events that will occur during the entire church age, which is the time period after Jesus' death and resurrection. These words describe the life of the church and believers on this earth during the church age. It's important to remember that these words don't refer to a specific time or event. Otherwise, there's a risk of misinterpreting the text. For instance, some people interpret verse 22 as referring to a specific person at a specific time. However, Jesus means that there will be antichrists and false prophets throughout the church age, as He already mentioned in 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 and 19. Children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us, but they went out that it might become plain that they all are not of us. According to the teachings of Jesus, there will be many antichrists in the last days. In the time of Apostle John, there were many antichrists, which indicates that the last days have already started. Jesus also mentioned that Antichrist will exist throughout the church age and until his return. These individuals may have come out of the church, but they never had true faith from the beginning. They deceive the church and the world with false teachings, and they are opposed to Jesus and his church. Therefore, we should not limit our understanding of the Antichrist to a single person or time period. Even if we do not know who they are, such people will continue to exist. It is important to be vigilant and alert. It's important to keep in mind that Jesus' teaching in Mark chapter 13 are linked to the words of the Old Testament. Jesus uses the prophetic words of the Old Testament to explain the reality of the last days. In verse 14, Jesus says, "When you see the abomination of desolation standing where it should not stand," this is a reference to Dan chapter 9 verse 27, chapter 11 verse 31, and chapter 12 verse 11, where the abomination will stand, causing destruction. The book of Daniel prophesies that the temple will be defiled, become a place of idolatry, and eventually be destroyed. This event happened before and after the time of Daniel in the Old Testament, but Jesus said it would occur in the church age, that is the last days. The words about the last days in chapter 13 are all connected to the words of the book of Revelation. Even in Revelation, the words about the last days are not presented as specific events that will occur at a particular time, but rather as events that will happen throughout the entire church age. This is how we should understand the content of today's text. There is another important thing to remember in the message of Mark 13, which talks about the coming of heaven, the eternal kingdom of Jesus in the last days. Although heaven has already come, its full glory has yet to be revealed. We must have faith in the kingdom of heaven that is already here, and also hope for the day of Jesus' second coming, when the glory of heaven will be fully revealed. Furthermore, we must remember that this kingdom of heaven will expand and be perfected throughout the church age. Through the Great Commission given to the church, God's chosen people will be saved and called to heaven. When all the chosen people are saved, the heavenly temple will be established, and Jesus will come again in glory. The first coming of Jesus marked the beginning of heaven, and the glory of heaven will be fully revealed with his second coming. In today's text, verse 24 says that during times of great tribulation, darkness will come, and heaven and earth will shake. Jesus will return in glory on a cloud to gather all the chosen people. At this time, the saints who have passed away will be resurrected and go to heaven with Jesus in glory. This signifies the last day of the last days. In Mark 15 and Matthew 27, the reality of the last days began when Jesus was crucified, died, and was resurrected. During this time, there was darkness on the whole earth, and the earth shook, rocks split, the curtain of the sanctuary was torn from top to bottom. When Jesus was resurrected, the saints who were in the tombs were also risen and appeared before the people. In other words, the last days have already begun, and at the end of the last days, Jesus will come again. The last days have been initiated by the death and resurrection of Jesus. His second coming marks the end of the last days and is being previewed during his death and resurrection. Similarly, as believers, we have already entered the last days since we have died and risen again with Jesus. This heavenly life has already begun in us, and we are already living in the reality of heaven. Through faith, we will continue to bear witness and enjoy the reality of heaven until its full revelation upon Jesus' second coming. Jesus taught these words before going to the cross to strengthen and protect us in our faith. In verse 5, Jesus warns us to be cautious of being deceived. He says, "See that no one leads you astray." In verse 9, he advises us to be on our guard. Similarly, in verse 23, he urges, "Take heed, for I have told you all things beforehand." Verse 33 reads, "Be on guard, keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come." Verse 35 emphasizes, "Therefore stay awake." Finally, in verse 37, Jesus addresses all people and instructs, "Stay awake and be watchful for those things." All these words are intended for the disciples, the church on this earth, and all the saints. After the first coming of Jesus, the last days have begun, and many events will occur until the day of his second coming. Despite the nature of such events, the church and the saints will hold on to the gospel and worship God with faith, eagerly anticipating heaven and the return of Jesus. While we wait with hope for this day, we must remain alert and not be deceived by anything. In today's text, Jesus tells us about the events that have already occurred in church history and those that will happen in the future. Throughout this time, Jesus has kept and protected his church and believers, allowing them to maintain their faith. This will continue to be the case. In today's text, we will reflect on the events that Jesus said would occur in the last days. There will be false teachers who will deceive many, and there will be news of wars, earthquakes, and famines. Christians who share the gospel will face persecution and even hatred from their own families. The churches will become corrupt, leading to idolatry, which is an abomination to God. There will be antichrists and false prophets who will try to deceive and destroy even those who are faithful with false miracles and teachings. All of these things are still happening today and will continue to occur in the future. Even in the United States where we live, there is persecution against Christians who live according to God's word, and it is happening in many areas. We should not be surprised if America becomes a place that persecutes Christianity and the gospel. This is what Jesus tells us as believers living in these last days before his return. He urges us to take care of ourselves and stay vigilant. This is the calling of our church and the believers in these final days. It is also the purpose of our worship and fellowship with our fellow saints, to stay awake. The purpose of all church ministries is the same, to stay awake, to keep our faith in the gospel, to live in a proper relationship with God, and to hope for the day when Jesus returns and we are welcomed into heaven. Otherwise, we will stray from the gospel, lose our faith, and abandon a life of worship in pursuit of worldly glory. Such a life is one of slumber and decay. We must remain awake because we are living in the last days, and Jesus will soon return. Revelation chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. "And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, the words of him who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works. You have the reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up and strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have not found your works complete in the sight of my God. Remember then what you received and heard. Keep it and repent. If you will not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come against you." Jesus rebukes those who merely identify themselves as a part of a church, as Christians or as saints, but fail to recognize their spiritual state of slumber or death. He urges them to hear the gospel again, to repent, and to wake up from their spiritual slumber and death. Jesus warns us to be vigilant and ready for his return, as we do not know when it will happen. Revelation chapter 16, verse 15. "Behold, I am coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake, keep his garments on, that he may not go about naked and be seen exposed." Jesus warns us that he will come suddenly and unexpectedly, like a thief. Therefore, he tells us to remain awake and keep our garments clean so that we do not become like the worldly people. He instructs us to have faith in him and in his gospel, to cling to his blood and righteousness, and to worship God regularly. We should strive to have a personal relationship with Jesus and to live our lives in accordance with his teachings. It is his command that we always remain alert. We should also encourage and support one another in our faith, helping each other to stay awake and remain faithful. Our daily lives should be spent in God's word and prayer, and prepare ourselves for worship on the Lord's Day. Our entire existence should be focused on anticipating the return of Jesus and preparing ourselves for eternal life in heaven. Dear fellow believers, how are we doing right now? Are we awake and holding on to what the Lord has instructed us to keep? Our priorities reveal whether we are sleeping and dying or awake and fighting to keep what's important. When we read about the saints who entered heaven in the book of Revelation, it tells us that they persevered in the fight to keep God's commandments and their faith in Jesus. If we are not fighting to keep Jesus, the gospel, faith, worship, God's word, the hope of heaven, the church, and our brothers and sisters, we are falling asleep and dying. Jesus urges us to wake ourselves up and our brothers up, for he has overcome the world and will soon return to take us to heaven. So let us not worry or be afraid, but be courageous and fight the spiritual battle to stay awake. We cannot do this alone, so let us pray and rely on Jesus to help us. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. We must always pray and stay alert with perseverance. God has instructed us to pray for the saints. Our prayer should be that we all stay awake and worship God together. Let's remember that we are grateful for the fact that even when we are asleep, Jesus is always awake and praying for us, giving us hope. Do you recall the time when Jesus was praying and fiercely fighting a spiritual battle in the Garden of Gethsemane before going to the cross? Jesus was awake, but what about his disciples? They were all asleep. Mark chapter 14, verses 32 through 37. And when they went to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." And he took with him Peter and James and John, and began to be greatly distressed and troubled. And he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch." And going a little farther, he fell on the ground and prayed that, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will." And he came and found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, "Simon, are you asleep? Could you not watch 1 hour?" We once walked down the path of death and judgment due to our sins. We were spiritually dead and asleep, but Jesus loved us and did not forsake or leave us until the end, praying for us and bearing the burden of our sins on the cross. He saved us from sin, death, and judgment. Today, Jesus continues to be with us, always awake and praying for us, leading us towards heaven and keeping us in faith. Therefore, we should also pray for our brothers and sisters and live in fellowship that awakens one another. As the day of the Lord's coming is near, let us all stay awake, keep our faith in Jesus, worship God, and welcome the Lord's return. Next Lord's Day, we will revisit Mark chapter 13.